Reichman University.
De-influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jana Hoffman and Amanda Jakubowicz.
Welcome to De-Influence, a show that explores the world behind the camera and the influencers who can affect our lives and the world in which they live. My name is Jonah Hoffman, and with me, as always, is Amanda Jakubowicz. And today we are joined by one of the most honest voices in the Jewish influencer space with some of our favorite memes, the fake Jewish socialite herself, Shifra Lindenberg. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
We're very excited to have you. I know I'm excited. Amanda, I think you're excited as well. You're somebody who I've at least had on the list because we made a list at the beginning of all the influencers and people we want to have on the show. You're one of the first people I added because I was like, oh, she's all about what this concept of this show is about, which is talking about these misconceptions and talking about the influencer community in particular.
This low-key should have been the pilot of the podcast, because it's literally like our thesis. Like, this is like the baseline of what we wanted. Everything we're going to talk about here is just a glorified version of like that first conversation that me and Jonah had. But now we have a third person to do it. And this is so cool and fun. And yay. And the tea is ready, even though this is iced coffee.
Right. Spill some beans.
I should have gotten my glass of tea. I would have gotten some spicy chai tea.
Just to really
get what the box says. So
that's true. But that's
Bro, my background sounds like I'm in Tel Aviv right now with this honking.
Well, we can't hear it here, so you're all good. But just to really hop into the misconception, we had a lot of debate over what we were going to talk about this episode because there's so many different things we could address with you, especially because all of your memes, you have such a wide range of content. But in particular, you focus on being very honest about the Jewish influencers, about the Jewfluencers, as we call them, and about the galas and about all the stuff we're talking about.
Jewfluencers, copyright.
Yep. We're trademarking that.
We need a file for that for the trademark.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the big misconception we're tackling today is humility. A lot of these people sort of inflate themselves. Big egos is a lot of the stuff that you see. You may not see that from a outside perspective, but if you're somebody who's in the community like we are, it's very easy to spot. You know exactly what you're looking for.
Look, not that I need to boast, you know, toot my own horn or whatever, but I've been in this space for a while. I was one of the patient zeros. I was in this space since Facebook memes was a thing back when we were all children. We've grown a lot since then. I've seen how this space has evolved, changed, done this, done that. And yeah, and I can even pinpoint when things have happened, and I will do that. So yeah, glad to bring my insight in, because I know when you're outside looking in, you see a bunch of verification check marks and, you know, high numbers on Instagram. And as Jews, we look at, oh, that's so great. That's a big number. But, you know, there's more behind the blue check.
And let's put a pin in that blue check thing for a second. Firstly, just like a general disclaimer, we're not here for Lashon Hara or whatever. And like, that's something that isn't like the purpose of like being here. Like, the purpose is introspection and talking about the community and not making a list of like who's good and who's bad. And it's right. Not an individual thing. It's like a community. Like, just what are we doing? Like, what is this little post October 7th industry almost? It's so weird to like describe it even. Like, what is this little world that was created of like these galas and merch and I don't even know all of these things, which again we'll get into. But yeah, disclaimer, we don't want to be mean. Name drop, that may happen. Like, please come on the show. Like, it's not.
If I have something nice to say about someone, I'll say their name because I do like saying good things about people. But if I don't, I really have a lot than something nice to say, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, hey, oh, let's not do this thing. I don't need to say the person's name because it doesn't matter who does it. It matters that the thing was done.
Mm-hmm. It's about what was done.
Exactly. Yeah. I literally said that in the pilot. Anyway, so it's not Lashon Hara, it's Harif.
Exactly. This could be our most Harif episode yet. This also could be a lot more conversational, I think. We're just coming into this with a list of topics we want to talk about, less so direct questions as we usually go into. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Just to kind of go into one of the first things we talk about. Obviously, one of the big things in the trending in the media right now outside the Jewish world is the Hunger Games. And part of the shtick of the Hunger Games is the quote-unquote capital life, this extravagant, this very over-the-top nature, people dressed up a certain way. And it feels like almost in a way you kind of see this in the Jewfluencer community with all these big galas and these people dressing up this certain way, even outside the galas, and they make their life seem something which, if you know them, really isn't that way. Can you sort of talk about that a little bit as an insider in this community?
Look, I will say before October 7th, I've never seen so many galas. And I used to live in New York. I used to go, like every other week, my friend would be like, hey, let's go to this young professional event. Let's go to this, because that's basically what they were. You go to this event, you dress yourself up, you make yourself look nice, and you hope the guy across the room has the guts to go and say hi to you. That's what these things were. And now it's evolved into, you know, this whole, I'm trying to think of the nice way to say it, because I need to keep it PG-13. But it's become this same event where we go, we congratulate the same people, we give the same people awards. It's not even about, you know, you come, you meet people, you celebrate the organization. It's all become about the same, like, five or six people who, I'm not going to belittle their contributions to the community, because that's not what I'm going to do. But I also don't believe they're, like, that's not the reason you should be going to any of these galas. Whenever it's Friends of the IDF, you know, United Hatzalah, this organization, not an organization. I'm blanking out on some, because trust me, like, I used to be in this Upper West Side scene. I was putting on a Zara dress every other week. I was sleeping in my makeup. But it's just weird because, you know, if we're talking with a Hunger Games analogy, you know, we have our civilians and we have our capital folk. We have our civilians, which I like to stress are a lot of the people in Israel who are actually directly suffering from the war. Whenever it's, you know, you're stuck in a hotel room with two of your kids, you're like in a one bedroom hotel room, you've been there for several months because you can't go back home to the north, or you're not ready to go back to your home in the south. You also have your capital folk, who are these American influencers who've been in a bomb shelter once. If they're lucky, they were there for one of the Iran nights. Not to flex, but I was there for both nights. And I even made a Taylor Swift joke out of one of them. Something's just not adding up, because you have all these people who are suffering. You know, we have hostage families. We have soldiers. So many people have lost limbs, shrapnel to the brain. Just so many people who either lost their lives with Nova, the kibbutzim. So many people have been affected. But so many of these efforts and the people we want to honor, they're the same five people who they go and they're wearing their Revolve dresses. They're hosting their Tel Aviv parties. They're flying first class. They're saying, oh, I haven't slept in a year. And then they're at the Ritz-Carlton. It's like, what's happening? Like, I know some of these families are at the hotels, but they're not exactly getting concierge service. And it's just like, what are we doing? Because there's just, we're not directing our efforts to the people who need them the most. We don't need to direct our efforts to the people who are going to all these parties in Miami and LA, New York. They don't need our help. The people who need our help are the people who've lost their son, their daughter. And I know I don't have as much skin in the game, and I don't need to be their speaker and their voice. But, you know, someone's got to say it.
Everyone's always like, the money's in the wrong places and blah, blah, blah. And like, I went to this conference at like the Hilton or something in New York. When was it? I don't know, around a month ago or something. It was great. And like, I know all the positives to galas. And like, we've had other episodes where we spoke to people about this same thing. It wouldn't happen if there was only negative things about it, right? So there's a good thing about like Zionists being there and like kind of the social aspect of that networking, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, like, I just felt guilty being there. Like, I'm like, why do I get the Hilton? And like, my friends who are hostage family members are doing a GoFundMe to have a house. It just, because their house is like destroyed. Yeah, like a hostage comes back and has to do a GoFundMe. It's just so far removed. I've always kind of seen the divide between like North America, or just diaspora, but I can speak on North America, and Israel. Just understanding like the Jewish community there versus there. And like, it came together, but now I think with just kind of like general attitudes, and especially with just kind of like, you know, rise in anti-Semitism outside of Israel and campus things, and like, we deal with such different things than Israelis do. So I feel like that divide has even grown more now in like the aftermath of everything that happened. And there's just like the hurt that like the diaspora Jews feel and the Israeli Jews feel. And I don't know, does that make us more different or more the same? And just,
so, yeah. I think a lot of it, and this is something that I really believe in, is I know we like to all say we were all hurt on October 7th. And there, it's not wrong. We're all hurt in many different ways. I mean, I could tell you personally, I was supposed to get this job from that I was doing my Masa internship for. And I was so excited. I was finally going to have this job. It was like one of my dreams. That got taken away from me because October 7th happened and no one can hire anyone. That doesn't mean my hurt is the strongest hurt there was from the war. And I think a lot of Americans, primarily American Jews, have lost the point because I get it. You know, you've seen the Nazi flag. You've walked past a pro-Palestine protest, and I'm sure that's hard. I'm not going to diminish it. But I hate to say it, but your hurt and your skin in the game is not the same skin in the game of the people in Israel. Your hurt, it's not the same as the hostage families. It's not the same people who have seen people died in Gaza. And I think... And so many people have forgotten it because I know we want to say we're all in this together and we're not here to compare apples to oranges. But I think there's something to say where, you know, when you're able to log off of Instagram and essentially log off from the war and just go to bed and you don't have to run to a bomb shelter at 2 a.m., not to say, oh, your opinion doesn't matter, but your stake in it is not that great. You could still be upset about the war and you could still be upset about the anti-Semitism. But if you're not getting that directly affected and you're not going on GoFundMe because you spent a year, you know, trying to get your sister or your daughter, your friend back, I'm sorry, but, you know, you shouldn't be breathing up the air. Like, there needs to be some air for the people who need it.
Outside of Israel, like, you can take a break. Yeah. It's not surrounding you.
You can't take a break.
Even certain places in Israel.
You have your alarm on. I'm a statistic. You want to talk about statistics and injuries from the war? I scraped my knee running to a bomb shelter at the beach once. So I'm technically injured. Don't see me going and on Fox News and saying, guys, I'm the voice of the people.
And it's like we were talking about earlier, where Americans or Canadians or Europeans, like if you're in the diaspora at all, you can shut off your phone mm-hmm. at the end of the day. You could go to sleep. It's over. You wake up the next day. Oh, you could choose to go back on. You can't. But for Israelis, it doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. If you live here or even if you're here for extended periods of time of 3 months, because people come here for 2 weeks, that doesn't count as much. If you're here for a month, 3 months, several months, whatever, or years on end, it doesn't end for you. You go to sleep, you might get woken up at 2 a.m. because the Houthis decided, hey, we're going to launch a missile today because why not? Or Iran decides, it's 3 a.m. Let's wake them up so they can't go to their high-tech job tomorrow. Exactly.
That was when they do 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then you have like a built-in alarm clock.
It's great.
If you're waking up early.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, if only they were that consistent.
One of the things we're talking about and that we especially want to break up is the money. We talk about where all the money's going and the money's going to paying these influencers. You have certain ones who charge $15,000, $25,000 to come do a speaking gig for an hour. Or you have people who, you know, they say they donate millions of dollars or thousands of dollars, but you don't really see it coming to fruition. One of the big things that's happening right now is the World Zionist Congress. I know, like, I think we've all seen it and seen what's happening going on around it. Do we think that this money going into it is going to come out in the right way? Or is it just going to end up being more, quote-unquote, tax write-offs, as I've seen being posted around some places?
Yeah, so I will admit I have a little bit of bias because I am on the Aish slate. You know, my sister's one of the coordinators for Aish, so, you know, I want to help her out as family. But honestly, outside of that, I don't really think a lot of this money, regardless to who gets it, is going to go to anywhere substantial. Because, like, one of the things I did criticize on my page was this whole, we're going to use the money to fight a PR war. We've been fighting a PR war for years. Why is it going to be different now? Because you have the millions of dollars instead of someone else? And it just,
why do we need hundreds of millions of dollars?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is that not voluntary?
Yeah,
what
are you going to do? You're going to host a party in your apartment? Like, oh boy. And now it's just like, you're going to have another conference. You're going to fly all these influencers out. I think the biggest problem with this PR and the fighting anti-Semitism is we're doing it for us. You know, when you go and you're saying, we're fighting anti-Semitism for you, we're going to bring you to the conference, you're going to hear Gal Gadot. You're preaching to the choir, though. I hate this narrative of we're going to fight anti-Semitism. we've been fighting anti-Semitism for years, and it's not working. Something's not working, because if George Soros is sending all these tents to Colombia, you have Queers for Palestine, like, why are they on their side? It's just, something's not adding up. We're not doing a good job, and someone just, and like, okay, I don't have the answer, but I think the first step is we need to reevaluate, because clearly hosting these galas where we're honoring the same five people, we're bringing the same five people to speak at shuls and Shabbatons and whatnot, it's not working. And if you're going to have all this money, instead of like giving it to the percentage here, let's start by giving it to the people here. Let's give it to the people who are out of the job because they're fighting. Let's give it to the people who are on food stamps. Let's give it to the people who need to pay rent. Don't even get me started on some of the Israeli tax money and like Arnona. Don't even get me started there, because there's people who clearly need this money. And I know we want to provide it to our Jewish values, and we can do that with our Jewish institutions and programs like NCSY that are for the people. But we need to stop acting like if we put this money towards, you know, worshiping the same three false prophets, it's going to go anywhere.
Okay, like a couple things. Even also like Jewish communities within America. There's so many Jewish people in Toronto that, you know, are like, don't have a lot of access to like kosher food, and like for that reason are kind of living closer to the poverty line. Like, there's enough issues so that we don't have to take hundreds of whatevers of this much money to do an event on campus that gets three people and maybe a fight between a pro-Palestinian and a pro-Israeli. I just think we're not like, what is our vision? What does fighting anti-Semitism look like? And like, I don't like anti-Semitism, you know, but yeah, like, I mean, really what
no
you said.
No one likes it, but whatever we're doing to fight it is not working. And if something's not working, we need to reevaluate and figure out how to change that.
Pouring more money into a problem doesn't fix the problem. It only accentuates the problem because there's no, my personal thought is there's no united vision, because as the old joke goes, as we've discussed in the past, two Jews, three opinions. So because every Jew thinks they know how to run Israel and thinks they know how to solve anti-Semitism, you end up with a non-united vision.
Well, let's take a pin out of what I put a pin in before. So, I mean, again, if it wouldn't be happening if there wasn't positives to it in some way. I don't know about a net positive, but positives. So when you say like, oh, all these like verified people and stuff, I don't know, I guess we have to look at the algorithm to really answer my question. But my question is, doesn't that kind of help when people see a verified, like someone who doesn't know, I don't know, again, we love everyone for real, but like Montana Tucker or something, she has a little check mark, right? If someone sees just like a random blonde girl on their like For You page or whatever Reels has, I don't even know. And like they see a check mark and stuff, like, and they're neutral, maybe they are more likely to kind of get into it and get into the Israel stuff. And maybe that does actually help PR. Like, I mean, we're all frustrated because no matter how much we try, Jew hatred will exist. But like, maybe this is doing something significant. Maybe the galas, whatever, all of the negatives to them, at least that is doing something with actual awareness. Like, is there an argument there?
Yeah, there is an argument there, because it doesn't matter. Look, anyone could pay for a checkmark right now. And it doesn't matter if you have the checkmark or the followers. One of, I think, the problems we keep doing is we see big numbers in checkmarks and we say, oh, they're going to fight anti-Semitism. You know, if someone has 3 million followers, and let me tell you right now, a lot of those followers for some of these post-October 7th influencers, if not all of them, pretty much have bought followers. Not all the followers are bought, but they've bought them. And I know this. I've talked to people. There was a whole fake followers gate that caused some other drama, whatever. Just because someone has a big number doesn't honestly mean anything, because if you have 3 million followers and all those followers are Jews and people who already support Israel and they're not people in the middle, it doesn't do anything. You're preaching to the same choir. The choir is just 3 million people. You know, I could buy a verification check mark, but that doesn't change my validity. It doesn't change the quality of my voice. And because when it comes to marketing, like, I was a marketing major in YU, just because you have a lot of people doesn't mean they're from different places. Most of the time, it's all the same people. Like, I guarantee you, most of Zach Sage Fox's followers are Jewish. Most of That Relatable Jews Jews followers are Jewish. Like, most of these people are Jews and they already support Israel. You want to get people in the middle? Go for people who haven't said anything yet. Like, imagine if we can get, like, I don't know, Lady Gaga to go visit Israel right now. That would do more than, like, honoring Montana Tucker at the next gala. And not only that, but when it comes to these galas aren't for every for the outside. It's for us. These galas are for us to, so we can all pat each other on the back and said, we did a good job. We're not anti-Semitic. We paid the admissions fees for the gala. Now we're going to go party to whatever DJ they have. Mm-hmm. And that's great for us. You know, look, if you're a single girl in New York or Miami and you want to meet someone, that's great. It's a great place to meet people. They're not all terrible, but they're missing the point when they make the galas about the same five people who, okay, fine, they can go on Fox News and say whatever, but they're not changing the minds of the people we need to change.
And I know, like, the galas are a big thing, especially because occasionally you do have a gala which, quote-unquote, works because it's either free admission and, like, anybody can show up if as long as, like, you're not an anti-Semite or something like that. But some of them do have that point of, at least I can speak to one I went to, which I thought was pretty effective. It ended up being kind of the same, but pretty effective was the AJC World Summit, which was pre-October 7th, but the ones I've seen post-October 7th also have had very good effectiveness because they purposefully invite people who are outside to come in and try and view that. And these galas don't come from nowhere. They're sponsored. There's donors. There's people who back these galas. And I know that's something we really wanted to talk about.
Again, I think my main message here is, like, this system is flawed, but clearly it works. And
I think it works. It only works for a certain amount of people. It works for the people in the Capitol.
At least in terms of recognition, maybe. But, like, as a whole, like, I think what we forget is this is really driven not by Montana or, like, literally, like, whatever blue check mark you want to pull out of a hat. It's mm-hmm. driven by the donors that sponsor it. Like, if there's no donors, there's no anything. And so it really comes down to, like, what do actually donors want? How does this even work? I don't think a lot of people think of, I usually don't think of this, like, where, we talk about spending millions of dollars. Where do these millions of dollars actually come from? Like, I don't know. My diagnosis here is that it's overall, we need more of a vision, which is what we're talking about, but also just more transparency. Because on the same note of donations, all of these big people, these big influencers and stuff, they're probably influencing, you know, they're fine, they're preaching to the choir, but they're also influencing very influential and, you know, like, affluent Jews
to invest in
their community and to donate. Like, maybe this ends up in a lot more donations to Israel.
A lot of these influencers, or at least the ones I know, look, the only one I could say is definitely influential in her community and does a great job with what she's doing with her community is Libby Walker. She's doing a great job with the Chabad and the East Side in that community. It does, from what I've seen and what I know, and it's okay if there's something I don't know. I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. I only know what I know. But if we're talking about influential people, like, you want to talk about the donors, most of these donors aren't on Instagram Reels and TikTok. Most of them don't care about this. Maybe they're on LinkedIn, but I don't think a lot of these influencers and blue check marks and whatever, I don't think they're actually influencing the people who have the money to spend.
I feel like we don't know. Like, as much as we kind of want to be critics, and, like, again, you don't need the millions of dollars to do something that, like, really we don't see any effects on, but, like, there could, like, what I mean by saying, oh, but at the end of the day, it still works, is, like, if all of these galas made Israel go bankrupt, like, they would stop. Like, ultimately, it is about Israel
well,
and stuff.
Israel's
and
still not doing well. They're still not doing well financially. There's a reason they just raised taxes for everyone.
You're going to talk about Smotrich. It's just not.
Yeah.
To, like, refine my point, like, basically the idea is just, maybe still, like, there is sort of, like, a stream of donations that is coming into the right place. Because there's a lot of donors that most donors we will, like, not ever really hear about. But still, there are so many donors that anonymously or, you know, not anonymously, they do want to help Israel. And as much as we look at the price of grapes in Israel and we're like, why are we spending money on, like, friggin', like, Zach Sage Fox? I don't know. Again, pick a name out of the hat. But, like,
it doesn't matter
day,
who
like,
it is. It's like anyone exactly. who's flown into Israel, basically. I mean, that's the Israeli government. It's not like you or me.
Mm-hmm. And
right. Yeah. Like, these donations could still, like, it still could be motivating good donations. there just has to be transparency and awareness, because most people will see an anti-Semitism conference and say like, okay, good, great. But we just have to, like, we have to introspect, and that's basically why we're here.
And I don't want us to just stand here, you know, screaming, yelling at the sky, because we could do that for hours out and on, and we could make an entire separate podcast of us just yelling, screaming at the sky. Mm-hmm. But we also want to come at this with some solutions, because
journalism
and stuff like that. So what solution do you think we could potentially come at this with, or maybe some solutions or ideas that you might have that we could come at this with to help promote either creators who deserve, not deserve it more, but creators that should get more recognition, that can actually help get more donations to Israel, that can actually put things towards the things that matters, all the things we've discussed thus far. What are some solutions you think we could put in, put into place?
I think some solutions is first of all, putting a spotlight on the people who need it. And because there's a lot of people doing good, raising money, donating things to Israel. They were especially doing it in the beginning, and they're not getting any of this publicity because, you know, I guess they're not sexy enough to put on Fox News. But another thing is, I think transparency where money is going to is also another thing that's important. And in addition to that, you know, I know a lot of Jews, like, we like to just give money to so we can say we've done tzedakah, but I think a lot of us need to do our research before, because I remember with Yarden Bibas, when he was first starting to open up a tzedakah account, because he obviously needed money to rebuild, there was something going on where people were saying, hey, stop starting these different donation sites because it's taking away from the one he needs. You know, I know we all want to donate and we all want to help, but sometimes the way we want to help so badly that we're not realizing, okay, we're doing good, but are we doing good in the good way, in the way that actually helps? Because, you know, you could set up 50 different GoFundMes for the Bibas family, but if none of them are actually going to him and are verified, that doesn't do any good. He just gave money, but it's not going to the place that it needs to be. I think this could be said for a lot of the big donors who are sponsoring these galas. It could even be for the small folk who are donating their Maser money each month.
IDF gear.
Yeah, well. IDF gear. Yeah, in the beginning, there were so many people donating IDF gear. So many. But like, I remember in the beginning of the war, I remember everyone was sending everything to Israel and they were like, okay, guys, we have enough toothpaste and socks. What we actually need are drone and night vision goggles. And in addition to that, a fun little tidbit I want to share is when I was back, because I used to do like some logistics and help get things to Israel. I remember I was talking to someone who talked to someone in the Israeli government about the logistics and sending things over, because they were so overwhelmed by all the donations they needed. The government needed to get involved to really structure it. That's why we have all the rules about the portable batteries in the LL when you're checking in now. But one of the things he told me was, you know, the war starts and Magen David Adon is saying, we need to send ambulances over. Donate money and we're going to send ambulances. And on paper, that looks good. That's a great thing to do. You know, you're giving tzedakah and you're helping an organization that's verified. But then you have to take a step back and realize, hey, it takes like a couple years to even build an ambulance. You know, we need something right now. Something's not adding up. It's not that Magen David Adom is trying to do something bad. They actually want to help. And it is possible that they are designating some of those funds to different places. But when they're writing, we need to build ambulances, send us money, your money isn't going towards like a hostage family or the IDF soldiers or any civilians who really need it the most. Mm-hmm. And I think what we really need to do is designate our energy to the people who need it. But something I think is really important, and again, I'm not a hostage family, so I don't need to be the spokesperson for this, but I think it needs to be said and repeated, is that we're not giving enough attention. Like, I know it's easy to say, oh, we're giving attention. They're going on Fox News. They're speaking here. They're speaking there. But I think a lot of these influencers are missing the point when it comes to these hostage families and what they're going through. One of the reasons I started my page, and my opinion is the way it is because I went to Hirsch Poland's funeral. Originally, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to that because I'm very good friends with his cousin. So I was like, you know, I want to go, but also it's really like I'm going to my friend's cousin's funeral, you know, like I'm not just going to this symbol. And I remember going and they said, don't take pictures or videos. That will be the media's jobs because it's a funeral. You're not. And I remember seeing all these influencers.
Not a tourist site.
Yeah, it's not a tourist site. It's a funeral. Like, have some respect for the family. And all these influencers were posting all these pictures and videos. And I know on paper it seems like a nice thing to do to share, but that's not their place to do. You didn't come all this way to a funeral for a photo op. And the next day, I go to Adin Yerushalayim's Shiva because a friend of mine wanted to go to that. So I said, sure, I'll just go. You know, it's a mitzvah. And they're trying to raise like what, $50,000 or $100,000? Because they had like no money at the time. As far as I'm aware, they got it. But it's like, why is the hostage family, why do they have to raise all this money? Because they have no money because they're spending all their efforts trying to get their loved ones home. Meanwhile, we're paying all these influencers these five-figure speaking fees. Like, they don't need it. They don't need it. These hostage families do. And I think a lot of people have missed the point. You know, for them, like when it comes to the hostage families, it's a photo op. It's, oh, look at me. I'm with a hostage. I'm important. I'm special. And another thing that I feel strongly about is there was this one person. I won't say names. You want to figure it out yourself, you can. But one day they were on a boat with a freed hostage and saying how great it was. And the next day they're posting about why they're against the latest hostage deal. And I get it. Like, look, you don't have to love the hostage deal, but there's just something not kosher. It feels like you're mixing milk and meat there.
It feels in bad taste.
Yeah, it's not in good taste. It's like you can't go and say, look at me, I'm with the hostage, and then be like, oh, well, I think they need to sit in Gaza. And even if it's not verbatim, it's not kosher.
Mm-hmm. And it's also like it's that thing about skin in the game and like understanding, like you can visit Israel a lot on your PR tour, but there's something else when you're inside the world always, and it's hard to kind of talk from the outside. And that's something with our representation. And I mean, really, like I think we just scratched the surface on kind of like things that just feel off about our community. And there were so many examples I could think of that I either didn't want to say or just we didn't even get to. But it's not good for our image, especially these big little galas, like the other side had like, whatever, look at this music and the DJ and all the free alcohol and you got to stay, like 400 of you got to stay in the hotel.
If the other side was doing that, we would be making fun of them. Like, no offense. If the other side was doing this hashtag girl Zionist boss girl thirst trap thing, if they were doing Gaza thirst traps, we would be making fun of them. Why are we doing that type of stuff? Why are we exuding that energy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I was trying to play devil's advocate as much as possible because at the end of the day, really, like that GoFundMe for if it's Adin Yerushalayim or Adin Amir or whatever, they do get the money because we do care and our hearts are in the right place. And that's what's always we need to remember is our hearts are in the right place. We want to stop anti-Semitism. We want to help Israel. We have this whole community in this, whatever, with all the little problems we have and things that don't feel kosher and make sense. We have it. We have this all around the world, people that want to help and that do it. And we have the means to help. And like, really just at the end of the day, thank you Hashem for that. And just thank you for everything that we have and that we could sit here and criticize it because we have it, you know, this is how we're represented and it's our job to find a solution.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. I do want to say there's one person I do want to give a good shout out to who's actually been doing an amazing job with Chesed and helping Israel and raising money. My friend, Yocheved Ruttenberg, you guys should try to get her. She's fantastic. She started her organization Swords and Iron and she helps people volunteer and do good. And it's like, we need more of that. Like Yocheved's not doing it to be famous. She's not doing it to go to galas and all that. But it's just like, that's what we need. We need people who want to do it for good and who know what they're doing and want to know what they're doing instead of just giving it just to do it. Because if we do that, I think then we'll actually be helping people more and actually stop fighting anti-Semitism.
That's exactly right. Again, just say thank you so much, Shifra. I really hope we get to have you back on the show again in the future because this was just fantastic and probably one of my favorite episodes yet. With that being said, thank you for listening to The Influencer Show that sets the record straight and explores the world of influencers, content creators, and more. Thank you so much, Shifra, for joining us today. My name is Jonah, and with me always is Amanda, and we will see you in the next one.
The Influenced. It's time to set the record straight with Jonah Hoffman and Amanda Yakubowicz.